A pilot's gun goes off accidentally during a U.S. Airways flight. A Cessna 172 may have been flying heavy and slow just before it went down. And nobody wants to say no to the Pentagon. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, March 25th, 2008. In the brainstorming that went on after 9/11, one of the obvious security measures considered was allowing airline pilots to carry guns. Critics said all kinds of things could go wrong, including an accidental discharge causing a rapid depressurization in flight. Well, nobody's laughing anymore. On Sunday morning, an accidental firearm discharge happened in the cockpit of U.S. Airways Flight 1536 between Denver and Charlotte. There were no injuries and no rapid decompression, but WCNC-TV News reports the plane was taken out of service for inspection after landing at Charlotte. Transportation Security Administration spokeswoman Andrea McCauley says the pilot is trained and certified to carry firearms in the cockpit. TSA and the Federal Air Marshals Service will investigate. The NTSB has published a preliminary report on the crash of a Kemper Aviation Cessna 172 earlier this month. That accident claimed the lives of all four people on board, including Jeff Rosell, a partner in the large Part 141 flight school, and it resulted in the school's closing until further notice. The other three victims were engaged in a survey of migratory birds. The March 13th accident was the third fatal in about 5 months for the school, located at Lantana Airport near West Palm Beach, Florida. And it drew lots of attention from both the media and the legal profession. The NTSB's preliminary report includes witness accounts of the plane making several low passes over cow fields, then suddenly dropping its nose with the tail straight up. The plane came down inverted. Investigators confirmed control continuity and found no other mechanical problems, but did note the combined weight of the occupants was 768 pounds, less than 100 pounds below the plane's maximum useful load of 861.8. And the plane had been topped off at 56 gallons, or about 340 pounds of fuel, before the flight started. Investigators also found evidence Rosell was flying with 14 degrees of flaps. NTSB's probable cause report is expected in about a year. The U.S. Army wants lots of unmanned aerial vehicles to support its ground operations. The U.S. Air Force argues it should administer UAV programs. Critics say the rivalry has produced an environment in which neither service wants to say no to Pentagon demands for UAV deployments, and that the Defense Department must be careful how it exploits that rivalry. Specifically, Defense Secretary Robert Gates recently ordered the Air Force to deploy almost all its Predator UAVs to the Middle East as part of the Iraq troop surge. While machines are not bothered by extended deployments, the crews trained to operate them are. And if thin staffing results in training shortcuts, the excellent initial reputation of the Predator and other UAVs may not hold up over time. Colonel Chris Chambliss, commander of the Air Force's Predator wing, fears we could repeat history and suffer the same consequence as Germany's Luftwaffe in World War II. Training for German pilots was shortened to get more pilots online more quickly. As Chambliss told the Los Angeles Times, quote, "That was the end of their Air Force," unquote. The U.S. Air Force has already extended tours of duty for Predator crews in Nevada, recalled others who had completed their tours, and frozen the assignments of some Predator and Reaper crews, in effect extending them from 3 years long to five. The January 2006 crash of a skydiving plane in Queensland, Australia, killed five of the seven people on board. Now an inquest has turned up so many issues with the flight, it may be hard to narrow them down to a definitive cause. Among the concerns heard by the panel at Maidstone in Kent, smoke seen billowing from the Cessna 206 as it took the runway for takeoff, substandard fuel in the plane's tanks, a pilot who lacked proper certification to conduct commercial skydiving flights, passenger restraints loosely fastened to the plane's floor, and an aircraft loaded 200 pounds over maximum gross weight. As ANN reported, the plane failed to gain altitude on takeoff and hit a dam less than a half mile from the airport. Two survivors escaped the sinking wreckage. The Scotsman reports the hearing also found none of the skydivers on board were wearing helmets. Deputy Coroner Stephen Beck said the findings should serve as a lesson for other operations. Quote, "Clearly, there is not one particular thing which caused the crash, but there are a number of safety issues, and recommendations for future operations should be made," unquote. Up next on ANN, the Air Force is looking for private investors. A helicopter photo mission ends tragically. and we take a life lesson from the late G. David Lowe. You're listening to Aero News.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 25th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The United States Air Force is determined to wean itself off dependence on foreign oil. To that end, officials hope to build what would be the first of many plants designed to convert coal to a cleaner-burning synthetic fuel. The Associated Press reports the pilot facility would be built at Malmstrom Air Force Base in central Montana, and all the Air Force needs now are partners. The Fischer-Tropsch process creates a fuel which burns cleaner than traditional jet fuel and would reduce strategic dependence on the Middle East. But the conversion process itself is not environmentally friendly. Asking Congress to approve a $5 billion appropriation for construction of the plant would pit the Air Force's security concerns against the growing environmental pressures on lawmakers. House Oversight Committee Chairman Henry Waxman, a California Democrat, told an interviewer recently the Air Force is not thinking beyond the fuel supply security issue and that climate change, quote, is also a national security concern, unquote. The Air Force is taking bids from outside developers until May, with construction expected to take 4 years after a partner is named. March 13th turned out to be a tough day for general aviation in the U.S. In addition to the four fatalities in the Kemper Aviation accident, a Robinson R-22 helicopter suffered severe damage in a forced landing near Wilmington, North Carolina. The pilot, a local firefighter, suffered fatal injuries. The NTSB is out with its preliminary report, and while no attempt is made to officially identify a probable cause, a witness is reported as saying she saw the helicopter shedding parts before it went down behind a building. The board found part of the tail boom 350 feet from the impact site and other evidence consistent with a rotor strike on the tail boom, often associated with failure to maintain sufficient rotor RPM. The board says workers at Wilmington International Airport reported the commercially rated pilot had planned to take aerial photos of a business during the flight. It was former NASA Director George Lowe who first suggested to President Kennedy in 1960 it was possible for an astronaut to walk on the moon by decade's end. His son, G. David Lowe, would go on to spend 12 years as an astronaut, flying on three shuttle missions. You could say the younger Lowe did a lot of living in the short 52 years he spent on Earth. He passed away on March 15th following a bout with colon cancer. In all, Lowe accumulated over 714 hours in space, circling the Earth more than 540 times, according to the Washington Post. His last trip into orbit came on board Endeavour for STS-57. That flight included a nearly six-hour spacewalk by Lowe and a fellow astronaut. Colon cancer remains one of the most frustrating cancers. A colonoscopy is a short, outpatient procedure, and the disease is easily cured if found early. If you're 50 or older and haven't been checked yet, find a couple hours in your busy life. As David showed us, we never really know how much time we have. Residents of two Maryland counties are asked to be on the lookout for a small composite panel shed from the wing of an overflying U.S. Airways airliner this weekend. According to news reports, Flight 1250 was en route from Orlando to Philadelphia Saturday morning when a panel measuring about 2 by 4 feet detached from the left wing of the Boeing 757. It reportedly struck the side of the plane, causing minor damage to the fuselage and cracking the outer pane of a cabin window in row 19. None of the 174 passengers on board was injured, and the plane continued on its way without any further problems. But the incident left many on board shaken. U.S. Airways spokesman Philip G. said the airline will investigate. The FAA says it will as well. Meanwhile, if you live in Maryland, in either Anne Arundel or Prince George counties, check and see if there's a 2x4-foot panel in your backyard. U.S. Airways would appreciate a call if you find it. Still ahead, Miami Air International braces for a strike. Even space is filled with March Madness metaphors. and the FAA says the emergency landing was caused by a pungent vegetable. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, March 25th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Strike ballots were tallied and certified for Miami Air International crew members last week, and 84% reportedly approved a strike against the charter operation if the National Mediation Board declares an impasse. Gene Sowell, president of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters Local 747, says his members have been waiting long enough. Quote, after over 18 months of negotiations and 8 years of stagnant wages, IBT Local 747 and the flight deck crew members at Miami Air are poised to strike in order to achieve an equitable contract, unquote. Miami Air International employs about 100 pilots flying Boeing 737 charter flights for professional and college sports teams throughout the country. The company also charters flights for crews and travel organizations. Sports metaphors are everywhere, especially during March Madness. Retired U.S. Navy Captain Dominic Gorey, commander of the Shuttle Endeavor, finds much in common between the challenges of construction work in orbit and competing in the NCAA basketball tournament. So far, his crew has performed 5 spacewalks to build a giant robot and install the first segment of a Japanese lab. But these are just the early rounds. Quote, we've won the first 5 games. We've got a couple more to go for undocking and landing. But we've got a great winning team. I'm really, really happy with them. Unquote. The shuttle is scheduled to land in Florida tomorrow evening. Hopefully Commander Gorey has TiVo. Last week, we told you about an Alitalia cargo flight from Milan, Italy to Miami, which made an emergency landing at Boston's Logan International Airport. The MD-11's crew had reported toxic fumes, put on their oxygen masks, and were met by EMTs and the hazmat team when they landed. They were examined and released from a local hospital, and investigators swarmed the airplane. This week, the story has a tearful ending, but in a good way. FAA spokesman Jim Peters tells the Boston Herald the cargo responsible for the fumes turned out to be 10,000 pounds of minced onions. On Saturday, the flight crew ferried the plane to New York, and after a 3-day holdover in Boston, the suspect onions are on their way to Miami once again, but this time, they're in a truck. And finally, for years, the airport near West Palm Beach in South Florida was called Lantana. More recently, its name was changed to Palm Beach County Park Airport, but pilots still call it Lantana. Now, the airport's new terminal and the oldest portion of the airport itself have been officially renamed again, and this time, the new name may stick. Owen Gassaway passed away in December at the age of 83. He was the owner and operator of Florida Air Motive, the maintenance, FBO, and charter company he founded in 1945. Under his leadership, the airport became one of the premier general aviation airports on the East Coast. To honor his memory, the Lantana Terminal has been named the Owen H. Gassaway Aviation Center. And last month, West Palm Beach officials also renamed the original airfield in Gassaway's honor. Palm Beach County Park Airport remains the field's official name, but it's still a mouthful. Maybe in time, you'll be able to listen on 122.7 and hear pilots calling their positions in the pattern at Gassaway. And then, those guys in Yerington, Nevada, can finally have the name Lantana all to themselves. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with Robert Poole, Director of Transportation Studies for the Reason Foundation, about ways in which new air traffic control technology could enable major airports to build runways closer together, increasing capacity. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.